Well, hi, welcome to the Christian Contrast, where we talk about how walking with Jesus leads us to live differently than those in the world around us. And I'm very happy to be joined today by Tim Longo.
Yeah, glad to be here, Dan.
Well, I'm glad. You know, Tim, for many of you, if you're part of LBF Church, you know that he's our pastor over outreach, and also that involves some serving elements to it. And so that's going to be the subject that we talk about today. So this is the third. This is fine as a standalone podcast episode, but this is actually the third of four episodes that we're doing and talking about what it means to belong to the church. And so we've talked about the significance of gathering for Sundays and worship with one another. We've talked about the significance of being connected to one another, just outside of sitting in one place together, to actually be in each other's lives. And now we're talking about serving. And here's what I wanted to do in starting this off. I don't want to make it out as if volunteer is a dirty word, because it's not. Volunteer is a fine word. But I wanted us just to talk for a little while about how maybe sometimes there can be baggage around the word or associations around the word volunteer. And so when we bring it into a church context, it can feed in ideas that are different than the ideas that we get in the Bible when it comes to serving and using our spiritual gifts. So I want to just kind of start by bouncing that off you. When you think about the whole idea, the phrase and the term volunteering, what are some associations with that that might be different than what we get in the New Testament when we're talked to about serving within the church?
Yeah, those lines can get kind of blurry at times. And I mean, realistically, a lot of what we do here is volunteering your time. And so it does feel like, well, we're just volunteering. But when I think of volunteering, I think of someone who maybe is kind of altruistic or something and looking to fill the time they have with something that has some meaning to it rather than just sitting around or shopping or something. I want to help out in any way I can. And so they find a way to volunteer. And like you said, not bad at all. Not bad. Admirable a lot of times. But serving at church is more of a command from God. It's if we call ourselves Christians, if we say and we profess that we follow Christ, we are commanded to serve the body of Christ. And so it goes beyond just like an altruistic thing or something where you're like, hey, I just need to fill a few hours this week. It is a command. And I think of Matthew 25, where Jesus talked about the parable of the sheep and the goats. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Jesus was talking about putting the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. And he said, I came to you and I was thirsty and I was hungry and I didn't have clothes, or I was in prison, and all these different aspects of needs that the sheep attended to. The sheep gave him water. The sheep gave him food. They visited him in prison. They cared for him when he was sick. And then he turns to the sheep and says the same thing and says, you didn't do any of these. You ignored me when I was hungry. You let me starve. You let me die of thirst. You didn't visit me in prison. You didn't care for me. And then he tells the sheep to enter into heaven and the goats to depart from him because he never knew him. And to me, that is just a powerful example of Jesus is calling us to love other people. And sometimes loving other people looks like serving in the coffee shop. Sometimes loving other people means going on a go team. Sometimes it means stacking chairs. It seems insignificant at times. But if God is calling you to do it, you are representing Christ. You are emulating Jesus as you serve him. Because if we look at Jesus's life, his entire life was serving and loving other people.
Yeah. Well, I think what you were talking about there is significant for a number of reasons. And part of it is just the idea that there is, it's like sometimes we'll use the word volunteer in a church setting just to differentiate those who are on staff, who are getting paid, versus those who are not getting paid, sort of paid versus unpaid, which there's nothing wrong with that. And there is something positive to recognizing that there's a voluntary nature that we bring. You know, Peter talks about this when he even talks about serving as an elder. He talks about the whole idea of doing it voluntary, but sort of, and not under compulsion, which is interesting because on the one hand, we deal with this and we say, all right, we are choosing to bring our gifts to God and we're doing this in the same way that Jesus said, no one takes my life from me. I lay it down on my own accord, that we come joyfully to say, I want to do this. I want to bring my gifts to God. And at the same time, it wouldn't be quite right for us to view it as optional,
right?
To say, you know, well, there are these other things, but the idea of bringing my spiritual gifts to the church and using them for the good of the kingdom of God, that's extra if I want to add it on. That there is a sense of, no, we're all called to this. And for me, when I was thinking about the whole idea of volunteers, I kind of associate it with the idea of choosing to do your part, which I think of, you know, when I was coaching soccer for my sons, and I would tell all the parents, like, we want everybody to volunteer in some way. And so it was snacks or it was helping out with refereeing or being an assistant coach. It was sort of everybody pull in the same direction, everybody do your part. And when it comes to the church, I think, like, there's a part of that that's appropriate, that we're saying we are all looking to do our part. But if we leave it there, that's insufficient.
Yeah.
Because then it sort of is like, have I done my part? Okay, great. Now I can go back to doing what I really want to do. Like, I did my part. Like you said, I served in the coffee shop. I helped out with kids once a month. I stacked some chairs. I did something. I did my part, right? All right, now I'm done. Now I can go back to what I really want to get to, instead of seeing this as something that we get to give ourselves to. Mm-hmm. And so that's part of what I wanted this conversation to be. I think sometimes when we talk about this, it can be very responsibility-based. And I don't think that that should be eliminated. I think that there is an appropriate sense of us saying, this is part of what God calls us to do, and we, in obedience to him, need to step forward. But also, I think that there's so much vitality and joy to be had in using our gifts. And so there's sacrifice. There's no doubt. There's sacrifices involved in serving at the church. You're sacrificing time. You're sacrificing sort of effort, mental focus, those sorts of things. If somebody were talking to you, somebody came up to Tim Longo and said, okay, I kind of feel like I should serve within the church, but it's hard for me because all I'm focused on is what I'm giving up. All I'm focused on is that if I'm doing this, it'll be a night out and I'll sacrifice this. What would you say to try to help them see that the sacrifice would be worth it? Because I think that's the question for most of us. People aren't saying this is a bad thing to do. They're saying it's a good thing to do, but is it worth it? Because it does involve a sacrifice.
Yeah, it does. And I've had this conversation with several people. I always remind them that Jesus calls us to live a sacrificial life. I mean, he gave the ultimate sacrifice in giving his life, and he calls us to do the same if he calls us to do that. So I just kind of walk them through, like, is having a deeper relationship, understanding how God gifted you and using those gifts to serve his body and serve him, is that less significant than having a few extra hours at home? And not trying to guilt people into, like, but just remind them, like, this is a privilege that for some reason God created us in his image and he loves us enough to trust us to represent him in all these different ways that he's given us to serve. And he doesn't just throw us out there and is like, all right, go serve. He has equipped us and he's gifted us uniquely to do all these different things that he's calling us to do. Now, there are things that God calls, he's called me to do things that I'm just like, this isn't in my wheelhouse, but you're calling me to do this, God, so I'm going to go do it. And through those instances, he's shown me, like, look at some different ways that I've equipped you that you didn't even know I've equipped you. I'm not calling you to be in this ministry forever or volunteer in this way or serve in this way forever. But he has revealed to me, like, man, I'm going to use these later in life. And so I think reminding people that, man, it is an honor to be able to serve a living God that trusts us to represent him. And then I would make it more practical. Like, if you call yourself a Christian, how are you representing that? How are you proving that you're a Christian, right? Like pickleball, we'll use pickleball because I know you're a big fan of pickleball, and it seems to be going around the church like
some
wildfire.
Some people say that I'm addicted, but I could quit anytime.
You could quit anytime.
Probably not.
Only on Fridays.
That's right.
But if you're a pickleball player, you can sit at home and watch videos, and you can read books, and you can talk to people. You can go to, you know, the sporting goods store and look at the paddles, right? Paddles and all the wiffle balls. And
you're on it.
I'm on it. I'm really professional when it comes to pickleball. But until you actually get out onto the court and hit the ball around and start playing pickleball, you're not really a pickleball player. And so many times as believers, we get wrapped up into, I go to church every Sunday, I wake up and I read the Bible and I pray every day. Awesome. All things that God is calling us to do. We even go to Bible studies. We even devote a lot of our time to being here at church. But we're just gaining all this information. We're just learning more and more and more about Jesus, but we're not applying it. We're not going out and actually being Christians. And so when we have the mentality of like, man, this service is sacrificial, but it's also a massive privilege to be able to serve God in this way. And it, in my life, it has turned into an immense joy to be able to serve God.
Yeah, that's cool. And I want to, in a minute, I want to follow up just in talking about how we've seen God work in our lives. But, you know, it's funny, even with, you know, the pickleball analogy, and this could go for lots of different sort of hobbies or activities. You know, pickleball is not the most exhausting physical activity out there. There's
other
ones
that are more. I call it the e-sports or the e-bike of sports.
The e-bike of sports, that might work. But I have friends that will play, and sometimes, I mean, we'll play for hours. And so you're expending energy. There are easier things to do than expend that energy. You could be at home, you know, like you said, watching anything. You could be saying, all right, that energy is going out. And sometimes the reason I'm talking about this is because sometimes I think we can buy into the lie that I will be filled up by being in a situation where I am not expending energy. Whereas the funny thing about pickleball is the running joke is always, you know, there's always time for one more game.
Yeah.
Always. You know, I'll be at the park and somebody will say, you know, all right, that was my last game, I'm leaving. And then I'll go play and I'll come back and they're still there. And, you know, they can't. You're choosing to expend more energy because you're finding life and vitality in expending energy. And I just think one of the most haunting things that Jesus said, to me, it's one of the most haunting things, is in John chapter 4, and it's in the story where he reaches out to the Samaritan woman at the well, and his disciples kind of treat her a little bit rudely or treat her awkwardly, and she leaves, and he seems to be a little bit annoyed with them because they're not catching what he's doing. Yeah. They weren't realizing he had this great gospel moment. And they say, hey, good news, we brought you food. And he says, I have food that you don't even know about. Mm. And that confuses them. And then he says, my food is to do the work of the one who sent me. Amen. And just that idea that Jesus is saying, I forgot about eating because I was so filled up by this gospel opportunity. Like, I am always thinking about eating, like all the time. Yeah. But the idea, and to me, it's so powerful because I think sometimes we hesitate with committing to serve in some way because we say, I'm going to be giving up the thing that makes my life good. And it's like, is that sitting at home watching TV? Is that sitting at home, even like reading a great book? Is it something like that? Or are the things that at the end of a week, if we're recapping the highlights, those aren't typically like, hey, I got to just sit around and do nothing. It's when there's something that we're doing that's significant. And you alluded to this. Part of the thing that I say to people when they're saying, is this worth it? There's nothing in your life that's more significant than this, than what you're doing as far as gospel ministry. And also, and I'll talk about more about this in the next part of our conversation, but we are living in an age where we are very isolated. And one of the things that happens when we choose to serve is that we move out of isolation and into the community that's messier and more difficult, but is what God has made us for. So when we sort of are looking at all the negatives, oh, I got to give up some time, I got to give up some effort, I got to expend some energy, I got to work with people and solve problems and take on burdens. Yes, that's true. That's what makes life worth living in every facet.
Absolutely.
And yeah. And Tim, you sit here as one of our pastors on staff right now. But there was a long time, not just here, but certainly here at LBF Church, where you were a significant non-staff person at our church, you know, in Exit 83 and Go Teams and in other areas of life. And then you were a part-time member of our team, and now you're a full-time member of our team. So this doesn't have to be limited to your experience here at our church, but I just wanted to ask, what makes you so glad that you chose to bring your gifts to the table and choose to serve instead of just sort of kicking back, coming on Sundays, and like you said, taking in the content without expending the energy that was no doubt involved in all this service?
Mm. Yeah, you know, it's interesting. I've spent portions of my life doing both. I spent probably 5 years here at LBF just coming on Sundays and leaving. And this is having previous ministry experience where I was serving and active in my previous churches. And almost every Sunday that I came and just disappeared right after service, there was a moment of God convicting me, and I felt like, oh man, I really wish I could do that again. I wish I could teach again. I wish I could be part of youth. I wish. And all of these times I was like, but I can't. Until God finally said, yes, you can. Let's go. Let's get moving. And I started to serve him again. And once I got to that point, there was a moment probably within a month of me just kind of saying, okay, God, let's go again. Of him really clearly saying to me, like, say yes to everything I bring your way. And I'm like, everything, huh? And he's like, everything I bring your way. I'm like, okay. And I did. And like I said earlier, there were times where some of the things I did were just not in my wheelhouse. I was not really gifted in that area. It's not something I truly enjoyed doing, but God said, say yes to everything. So I did. And the more I said yes, the more God just kind of revealed himself to me, revealed his character, revealed how much he loved me. And I grew up in a home that I wasn't really pushed to do a lot with my life. I mean, grew up in a loving home. Everything was great. I just didn't, my parents like never went to college and all that. And so I was never really given vision of like, hey, you can do significant things with your life. And so I believed it. I just believed this is as much as I'll ever be able to do in my life. You know, I had a carpet cleaning business and it was a true blessing. And I just believed that's where it ends. But man, the more I started serving God, the more I started saying yes to God, the more he revealed like these giftings that he has given me. And I started using those gifts. And the deeper I got into using the gifts, the deeper I realized this is not at all by my power. Like what I'm doing here in Nicaragua or what I'm doing here at LBF, this isn't me. Like I'm not this gifted at all. And it is, man, it was so exciting when I finally realized like God is using me to do some crazy powerful things. And really through serving, through me saying yes to the opportunities that God has given me, it has transformed me into really who I am. It's not, I now get excited about different opportunities. I get bored when I'm just like in my office working. I'm like, okay, what else are we doing? You know, and we're, I look forward to different opportunities because through these opportunities, every single time I say yes to him, every time I serve him, I get to know him a little bit better. I get to understand his character a little bit better. And even more significantly, I get to see how much he loves me and how much he cares about me. And lately, I've really been like, why did you choose me to do some significant ministry in different areas where I am just like, I am not equipped to do this, but let's go, God, and let's see what's going to happen. And it gets really fun and exciting. And so I guess the long of the short of it is it through serving, God has made me who I am and has instilled a desire in me to get to know him more and to do more for him.
Yeah, there were, we had, obviously you were there. We had a pastor's retreat about a month ago. And one of the things that we did on it with our team is we had each team member share about, not so much a highlight, a moment of joy in ministry.
Yeah.
Because there is, like anything in life, it's like parenting is this way, school is this way, exercise is this way, that there are times that you feel like you're putting in a lot of effort, and sometimes you can be more focused on the exhaustion from the effort and wondering, is it worth it? And mm-hmm. So we just had each team member share about at least one moment that they look back on and say that there's great joy because we saw the gospel transforming somebody. We saw a marriage healed. We saw a student come to faith in Jesus. We saw somebody's family restored after there was alienation. We saw somebody who was filled with anxiety, filled with joy and freedom. We got to see the fruit of the ministry. And I just think again, like, gosh, I want more of that. I want more of that. And part of it goes into the idea that God has created us with purpose. And also part of it is us just embracing this is what it means to be human in the greatest way of being created in God's image. Like God is a creator. Like God has output from his creativity.
Yeah.
And so being created in his image, this is why, you know, people who are artists contribute in such an amazing way because you're bringing something artistic to the world. You're bringing something, you're imaging God through doing that. When we teach, we're imaging God in some way. When we work with our hands, we're imaging God in some way. That this is that, and again, I just think, I was thinking of my sons because I remember being this way with summer every year. And I've seen this in my sons a little bit where summer would roll around and I would think, all I want to do, I wouldn't have used this word, but all I want to do is indulge myself. Like now school is done. All I want to do is every day sleep in till 10 o'clock, get up, play video games, watch TV, like have no responsibility, no effort, no anything, just eat whatever I want. That's what I want. And I usually didn't get exactly what I wanted in that, but sometimes there would be like 4 or 5 days where that's sort of how I would start the summer. And everybody knows this story. After 4 or 5 days of that, you're just like, this is awful. Like, this is miserable. You just feel like, what did I do today? You know, we always do the updates at the dinner table with our family. And for a little bit into the summer, the kids were, when I asked, what did you do today? Or what was the highlight of the day? They were like, I don't even know. Like, what am I doing with my life?
I'm
like,
on my 8th TV show today.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's fun. But it is that I think when we're active, we are longing for some of that rest and refreshment. And there's an appropriate level of getting some of that. But when we think that would be real life would be if I could just indulge my whims all day long. Man, you would run out of interest in that so quickly because that's not what God has made us for. And so part of that is just living in that joy and freedom of dependence upon God, closeness with him. He's leading, I'm following, I'm hearing his voice, I'm seeing him work. But I'll just throw in another part of it for me as I think about throughout my life, especially when I think back to when I wasn't on staff at churches, but I was, you know, back when I was in high school, being part of the leadership team of the high school ministry. Later on, serving in a high school ministry and then in a college ministry, different ways that I did that. What I consistently experienced is that the people I was serving with were my main community. Mm. And so I think even sometimes, you know, we have a lot of small groups at our church and we think those are really valuable. But if I were to think in my life and think about how did I truly bond with other believers, if I were to take on the one hand all the different people I was in a group together with, sort of like a Bible study group, versus all the different people I served alongside, and ask the question, who did I get closer to? Like, it's not close. Right. The people I served alongside, you know, you lead our Go teams. Go teams is like, this happens to an exponential standpoint. If you're with a group of people and you go overseas and you're serving Jesus overseas, those people, you become so close to them. And again, just thinking, man, we are living in such an isolated way. We can have everything delivered to our house. We don't have to go to the movie theater to watch a movie. Just all these things. We're so isolated that part of, I think, what it means to follow God's leading on this is just being called out of that isolation into bringing our gifts to the table. And part of the benefit to this is you end up having deep connections with other believers because you're shoulder by shoulder serving. Not just sitting next to each other learning, but shoulder by shoulder serving, looking to do something that's significant and valuing each other because you're both working on the same project.
And there are many times where I've been on a Go team or serving locally with somebody, and I see Noel Norton comes to mind for me. We were in Thailand last year, and sitting around this table talking with a medic that was in Myanmar, and we were delivering a bunch of medication for him to take over, and he wasn't a believer, but one of the most fantastic human beings you've ever met that cares about people and does. And Noel just said, man, you have so many gifts of God that why don't you like accept Christ to be part of your life? And I was like, that didn't even come to my mind. Mm-hmm. Like, I was like, and so serving with other people makes you a better
Absolutely.
Servant. And so that is one of the great joys. I just went to Alaska with six other people, and some of them were significantly younger than I am, as most people are.
And so they were just regular people.
Yeah, they were all in their 60s. Yeah. And so, but watching them, like, they were all counselors at this junior high school camp. And they put me in maintenance, so I wasn't directly contacting the kids as much as they were. But I had the opportunity to kind of sit back and just watch how this team loved these kids and shared the love of Jesus with them every single day we were there, every minute that they were with these kids. And it was such a blessing to me and such a great example to me to see how to love these people as Jesus loves them.
Man, that's beautiful. Well, so here's the question that I want us to kind of land on as we look to come to the end. You know, somebody listening to this, asking about like, all right, I get it, and maybe I do really want this, but I sort of feel daunted or overwhelmed or not quite sure where to start. This feels nebulous. Like, I know how to join a group. I go and I join the group and then I show up to it. That kind of makes more sense. If somebody's listening to this and saying, all right, I do know that I'm called to this, and I do know that I want to do this, what would you encourage them with as they look to take that step?
I think the first thing I would encourage them to do would be get on their knees and pray. If God's calling you into doing something, which I believe he's calling all of us that profess faith in him to do something, talk with him. Like, spend some serious time just communicating with God, confessing to him that I don't want to make these sacrifices, but I feel like you want me to. What can I do, God? Like, I think we are so caught up sometimes in sounding good when we talk to God, or being eloquent, or saying the right words. It's all a mess. The Bible says it's all a mess, but the Holy Spirit translates all of it. So just pour your heart out to him and let him know, I'm ready to go. I just don't know where to go. And in that, take some time to listen. I know it sounds weird, like, how are we going to listen to God? Sometimes just being still and being quiet, God reveals stuff to us. It happens to me often when I actually take the time to allow him to speak to me, guide me, and direct me. And once you've done that and you feel like, okay, I still, like, I kind of have a direction now. I kind of know where I should be going. Come talk to me. Talk to one of the other pastors. Talk to a leader of, you know, a deacon of one of the ministries that you believe God is leading you to. We'll direct you. I have a really good idea of all the different ministries we have here. That's part of my job is like plugging people into areas that God is calling them to serve in. So please find me, tim@lbfchurch.com. If you want to email me, call the church. I'm always here. I would love to talk with you and I'd love to pray with you and just get you plugged in and get you moving. And there are frustrating times when it comes to serving, and that's why we're here. We're here to support each other and pray with each other and support each other. I just talked with one of our missionaries, our long-term missionaries, and she said, some of the struggles that I'm having right now are with other Americans. Like our relationship it gets so tense at times, you know? And I'm like, the enemy loves to bring that tension when we're serving God. And I'm like, man, pray together. Let me pray for you. Pray with your teammates. Pray with the people that you're getting frustrated with, because life comes out of that frustration if we surrender it to God. So pray about it. Allow God to speak to you, guide you, direct you. Come talk to a pastor or a deacon or a head of one of the ministries, and we will absolutely get you plugged in and teach you what to do. But be careful, because it's going to keep perpetuating. Once you start serving God, you're going to want to start serving Him more.
It's true. So, yeah. Well, and I love that. I mean, just pointing out, this is a spiritual thing that we're talking about. Yeah. It's not just logistical, it is spiritual. And so seeking the Lord's guidance. And with that, I would just add in, I think oftentimes, even if we don't know exactly where God is calling us, we might have some leanings. And to me, I want to encourage people, part of the leaning is just, what has God put on your heart?
Yeah.
Like if you're a part of Life Bible Fellowship Church, is there something that when you hear it talked about, there's a part of your heart that stirs that you're like, that's so great. That's so significant. You know, is it student ministry or children's ministry or, you know, college and career, you know, is it go teams? Is it our different deacon teams that are serving in the community? Is it when you hear about a Sure pregnancy clinic? Is it the worship team? Is it, you know, there's probably something, and maybe it is, maybe it's something like gatekeepers or our parking crew. And I know you alluded to this before. Sometimes we can think, well, all right, I can do that, but that's not really like this deeply spiritual thing. You know, the church is viewed as a body. And how weird if you were like, well, the veins, like how important are they? Like, pretty important.
Pretty important if you want blood.
Yeah, pretty important right. If you want blood. Yeah, and so when you think about, when I think of our parking crew and, you know, Carlo, our deacon over that, and where I think, you know, part of what I pray every Sunday morning is I pray for people who showing up that Sunday will just be a massive step of faith for them.
Absolutely.
Like not doing anything else, just showing up and overcoming the inertia or the fears. And so when I think of our parking crew, I think of the idea of that these are some of the first people to communicate with their bodies, with their words, with their smiles, we are glad you're here. Mm. And then our greeting team doing the same. And you know, you could be like, sure, I helped somebody get a seat. Man, when you walk into that room and you don't know what to do and somebody helps take off that pressure and helps you get in, so many of these ministries, it's like, these are the veins helping the blood get to where it needs to get. And so sometimes people can say, well, I could do that, but what does that really matter? Like, man, it matters hugely.
Yeah.
And so to do that, to say, all right, I'm going to see where I'm drawn and maybe where I'm capable. And then my encouragement is always just, man, try something and give yourself to it at least for a little while.
Yes, yes.
Like I loved you talking about the season where God was calling you to say yes to everything. I'd say like the season I'm at right now, the things I say yes to are narrower. And I know that's true of you also, yes, narrower for sure. Than that season. But sometimes the way that we get it more narrowed and clarified is by just trying a bunch of stuff. and saying, trying widely and saying, all right, I'm getting myself in different situations. I'm finding out, yeah, God has really gifted me in this. I do really well in this. Man, I get life from doing this.
Yeah.
And so sometimes it's a matter of saying, hey, choose something that's at least in the ballpark. Like, I'm not joining the worship team. Like, nobody's asking for that.
I keep trying. Yeah, I keep saying no. I don't know why.
I don't know why. But join something that's in the ballpark. Give yourself to it. Like, at least give yourself several months and say, hey, I'm going to give myself to this. I'm going to really see.
Yeah.
And maybe you'll see at the end of that, this is my spot. And maybe you'll see at the end of it, this isn't quite right. And so I'm going to choose something else and I'm going to give myself to it. Because God is not going to abandon me to consistent frustration when I am looking to use my gifts. He is going to bring the guidance of the Holy Spirit so that I end up where I'm supposed to end up, which will benefit the body and will be that thing. I guarantee you, for somebody, it will be the thing that when at the end of the week, when somebody's asking about the highlights for the week, that's going to be what you're talking about. Not going to be talking about, I saw this really cool episode of, I don't even know, you know, what's on right now. I saw this really cool episode of, you know, American Ninja Warrior. They're going to be talking about, man, I got to do this thing and I'm developing friendships and I'm getting to see God at work. And we saw this, you know, there was this person and they didn't know where they were going and I got to guide them and they were so grateful, whatever it is, we get to see God at work and it will be the thing that we're made to do.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You were talking about parking and Jeff Taylor and I were in Florida with Samaritan's Purse and we had Sunday off. So we visited a church, just local church, and we pulled in and we had no idea where to go. And we're like, we almost got to the point where we're like, you know what? We're good. We're just going to bounce. And this parking attendant said, no, come on up here. Parked us right up front, brought us into church, introduced us to people. And we were like, like, it feels so insignificant. Yeah.
And you guys are people. Church guys.
We've been like, around churches.
Yeah, like, you're veterans.
Forever.
Yeah. So thinking about a new person having that who doesn't know what's going on. I mean, like you said, like to be able to say, hey, it's going to be okay. Now I feel like I can be aware of what God might be doing because of the way that these people serve me.
Yeah. Anytime God calls you to do something, it's significant and it's important and do it.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's a good word to end on.
Yeah.
Move forward. You know, we're talking about this again because, belonging to a church, really belonging to a church, doesn't just mean you're on the member rolls and doesn't just mean that when Christmas and Easter roll around, that's the church that you go to. It means regularly worshiping together with your church family on Sundays. It means that you're involved in connecting with other believers so that they build you up and you build them up. And man, it means serving because we're all gifted to serve and that's what God made us to do. So if as you're listening to this, you have a question or a thought, or even you want to take Tim up on his offer, just, hey, contact him or contact one of us and help us guide you in the right direction. We would love if part of the fruit of this episode is that more people step forward to use their gifts, to experience the joy of the Holy Spirit working in them, and to benefit the work of God going on through the church. We put out episodes of the Christian Contrast every 2 weeks. So if all goes according to plan, in 2 weeks, we'll be back with another episode that will be the fourth in this series, where we'll be talking about how belonging to a church means that we give. But I hope that this was helpful. We can find all episodes of the Christian Contrast on our YouTube channel for Life Bible Fellowship Church and also on our website for lbf.church. So if this was encouraging to you, you can find back episodes and you can take a look at those. But thanks so much for taking the time to listen. We'll be back in 2 weeks with a new episode. Thanks so much for engaging with the Christian Contrast.